We welcome you tonight to our evening service in Toronto, Canada. If you're joining us for the first time or you've come back again viewing our service online, we want you to know you're very welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus. Here in Toronto, Canada, we are under a lockdown, which means that our churches are really closed. And that's for the next three Lord's days after today, and we will see exactly what happens after that. Nonetheless, we are very thankful we can proceed forward with our services online, and we're glad that you are able to tune in. Let none of these things stop our worship. Let them not make our worship muted, but rather in soul and spirit, we will lift our hearts in thanksgiving and worship to the Lord. We've had some blessed prayer times this afternoon. Our elders and deacons met at 4:50 for about an hour, and men pouring their hearts out to God, seeking the Lord for His blessing upon our ministry and for His wisdom to be given to us to know the future and His will. So that was a very precious thing. And then the pre-service prayer time was populated by many of our people, and we're very, very thankful for that. Let's begin our worship tonight with a well-known hymn, "God Will Take Care of You," number 609 in our hymnal. precious promise that we never can tire of, to know that, as Christ has told us, He will never leave us, He will never forsake us. Therefore, we may boldly say that the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man will do unto us. Believer, let us cast our confidence, our care continually upon the living God. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Loving Father, in the Savior's precious name we bow once more. In our evening service, time of prayer, opening the Word of God, Lord, the desire of our hearts would simply be that our hearts would be open to receive the Scripture, that we would mix the Word of God with faith so that we can grow thereby. Lord, we know that left to ourselves, we are not able. And if we are left to ourselves, Lord, we will quickly fall away. And we're thankful for the abiding grace of God to us. Lord, you've not left us empty or void. We thank thee, Father, tonight for the great joy we have of knowing that we are saved, not just for time, but for all eternity. And we have the covering of the righteousness of Christ. And our sins, which were many, they are all washed away. And that gives us a hope, Lord, tonight. A hope that cannot be taken from us. A hope that is steadfast and sure. A hope that is alive unto the end of this world, the end of our life here, but the beginning of our life in glory. And Father, though we cannot understand it, what it means that we are glorified already, we are actually seated in heaven now, we cannot fully comprehend the meaning. And yet, Lord, we are called to endure unto the end. We are called to walk by faith. We are trust when we cannot see. We are called, Lord, to worship, to abide in the love of Christ. And I pray that this night will be no different. That you would meet with every one of our people, those of us here in the church, helping us to see the service run smoothly, having all the efficiencies taken care of. Lord, the body of our folks who are in their homes tonight, the visitors that are viewing, may there be a word in season to every heart. Let there be a word just addressed to the need of the individual. Father, we know that the word of the Lord, taken and applied by the Holy Ghost, well, it is so powerful, and it can meet the need of dozens, hundreds, even at once. And so, Lord, we're asking for that again tonight. Remember, Lord, those from our fellowship who are set aside. We think of our brother Sam McAnally tonight in hospital. Lord, comfort your servant. Be with him. Let him know that he is being prayed for. Let him know the comfort of the Savior standing by his side. We know, Lord, that many of our folks have been bereaved recently. We hold them up and pray for them. We think of our sister Ruth, slayed tonight. Lord, comfort her heart and touch her body. Be with her, we pray. Oh, many other sick ones, Lord. How thankful we are that we can pray for them all. We can remember them by name and present them to the throne of grace. And we have the assurance, Lord, that you hear and answer our prayers. Remember all of the faithful ministers connected with our fellowship and those who are not immediately connected, Lord, but are still taking their stand or serving faithfully. Bless every follower of Christ, faithfully executing the word of the Lord. Bless each one in these difficult times in which we are living, and watch over all of our people. Keep us all safe, Lord, and give us the measure of health and strength needed to keep on going, keep on serving, to keep on rejoicing, to keep on waiting with expectancy for our Savior's return. Lord, be with us now tonight. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Number 45, if you're using our hymnal at home, we're following the words on the screen, and we'll sing again to the Lord's praise. Well, that verse or that hymn we have been singing tonight will fit in very well with the message I want to bring you, the next in the series on the life of Elisha. And as we come to it, you will see just exactly what I mean. We're going to read now, please, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, a portion which I believe also is fitting and will apply to our study later on. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to the end of the chapter. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon," the world. "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. May God bless His word to your hearts tonight as we have read. As I mentioned earlier, we are under a shutdown for all public gatherings and many store closures in this area at the time, as the government officials are trying to take steps and put into place how they can bring the COVID numbers down to where they are manageable. Well, nonetheless, we pray that God will use this different occasion again, returning back to the days of early spring of March, April, May, and so on, when, well, we were under the similar situation. But we will say to the Lord, take us and use us and help the Spirit of God to apply this truth to our heart in differing circumstances so that we may be faithful servants unto the Lord and walking in His will. Let me remind you, please, of some of the important ministry that's going on in this incoming week. Would like you to pray, please, for all of the sick ones connected with our congregation. We don't want to forget about them. Brother Sam McAnally still in hospital and not able to have any family visitors in, as many folks are in the same circumstance at this time. Do remember to pray for our sister Ruth Slade at this time as well, and many others on our sick list in the bulletin. Remember also Brother Richard Craig. We've been thinking about him as he went through eye surgery last week, and we heard word from him that he's recovering and getting back on track again. Very thankful for the prayers of God's people at this time. All of our services are either online or doing services via Zoom, which will be for the prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7:30. And then also, please remember a new pilot meeting that we're starting on this coming Saturday, December the 5th. And at that time, it will be at 7 o'clock in the evening, Saturday, as we have a FPC Connect from ages around 16 and above for our young adults. And it's a desire across Canada that we will unite and be able to introduce folks from one congregation to another, have a study around the Word of God, an opportunity for fellowship, at least virtually. So we're looking forward to that. Please be much in prayer regarding that. And as I reminded you this morning about our Christmas card appeal annually, well, you'll see something today on your bulletin, and we would ask you to think about that and be able to give generously to this needy appeal to the Czech Republic Building Fund. And if you want to mark your envelope, if you're going to mail a check into the church, or you can also make a note on your e-transfer or even in your credit card donation, however you want to do that, we'll be happy to take all of your currencies, however you want to donate them to the work of God here. And that's an important thing. I was sharing a little children's message, a kid's message this morning about, well, what a piggy bank is and how savings are to be set aside, and how the Lord encourages us to take of the bounty that He's given us and return tithe and offering unto Him. And as we do that faithfully, well, the Lord promises to bless us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For as He gives unto us, let us be faithful to give unto Him again. And I know it's been so disjointed and disrupted this year that regular tithing every week has not been the order of the day for many folks. But nonetheless, as we all come near the end of the year, we want to be sure that all things have been put in place toward the Lord. Those are all the announcements we have at this time. We're going to sing another hymn together to the Lord's praise, number 593, "Oh, for a faith that will endure." Thank you. Well, I hope you are singing well at home. We were doing our best here to praise the Lord. And again, may the walls of your homes know the echoing of your praise to the Lord at these unusual times. I invite you to turn now, please, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. We're reading the first seven verses. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. We know that God will bless His Word to our hearts. I invite you, please, to bow in prayer as we seek the Lord and ask for insight and light. Father, take now the Word of God and write its truth upon our minds. A familiar story this one is, as most of us have learned this from early Sunday school days. I pray, Father, that it will come to us tonight with fresh power, fresh application, fresh help, that we will learn, we will understand. And Father, when we come to familiar stories of this nature, we know that we have need of going deeper into the Word. We know we have need of deeper understanding, for the Scriptures and all they provide for us are vast and deep. And we have nothing to draw with. And so, Lord, I pray tonight for help, for the anointing of the Spirit of God, for that unction from heaven. Lord, give clarity of mind. Bring to my own heart every word and thought. Lord, I pray tonight for any who are listening without Christ. Is it not time, Lord, for them to repent of their sin, to call upon the Lord, to realize that there is a debt that they cannot pay themselves. O Lord, speak, we pray, with that voice that can awaken the deadened spirit and heart. Help us to realize tonight, Lord, that all of our need is abundantly met in the provision of our Savior, that He is abundantly able to give exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, supply our need tonight individually. Supply those needs in our families. Supply the need in our congregation. Lord, supply the need in our school ministry. We are thankful, Lord, for how You have given and given and given again. Hear our prayer tonight. Encourage us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you have, I'm sure, considered, as we have thought and read through this portion tonight, that it's an account about great need, but it's an account about great provision. And indeed, the provision that there is in God and the provision we have of Christ, who is able to help us in the hour of our desperation and the hour of our need. May God help us to draw from this tonight. This is one of those miracles which provides a snapshot of a home with what appeared to be an insurmountable problem. There was a widow with younger children. There was a massive debt. There was nothing in the bank. No hope of repayment of the debt. Children who were facing enslavement for no fault of their own. It was a life sentence of misery for this bereaved wife. She was a distraught mother. Can you enter in for a moment, mother, to what that would be like? Can you think for a moment of having two sons and them on the verge of being sold into slavery in the prime of their years and leaving your home, leaving you in isolation, leaving you empty? Oh, there's reality in this account tonight. This is no parable. This is reality. This is the event that happened in the life of a lady who we don't even know her name, of two boys we don't know who they were. We know a little something about the father, but very little indeed. It's an account, though, of hope that is given by the Lord in the very darkest of hours, of the exercise of basic faith in the Word of God. And it's an account of the answer of a mighty provision when all personal resources, well, they had dried up. Let's consider tonight the great abundance and supply of our Lord Jesus Christ and the provision in the hour of desperation. Would you please notice in the first place here the reality of empty vessels and the sufficiency in Christ to meet every need. So this woman was the wife of a prophet who had served with Elisha and was obviously known by him. We know little or nothing about the man apart from this and his family also, but we are told that he served God. What a testimony! I'll tell you, if someone knew nothing else about me than the fact that, oh, this guy served the Lord, I would be very happy, very happy. In fact, in eternity, when we come to stand before the Lord, if we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that will be enough, more than enough. Here was a man who had given himself to the service of God. But there's more that we're told about him. He was a man who feared God. Oh, that's an added benefit on the resume. But his resume is no good anymore, at least not any good for getting a new ministry position somewhere else, for the man is gone. But his testimony, and that which was written on his grave, we could say, was this: he served God and he feared God. And those two things are not necessarily the same, in no way. Because a man that has the testimony of fearing God, there is connected with that the aspect of faith. The aspect of a man who gave himself, who strongly reverenced the God of heaven, who loved God with his heart. He was not just going through the motions. He was not just someone who was content with saying, well, I guess this is my lot in life, a son of the prophet. No, friend. This man loved the Lord. This man served God and feared God. Well, there's one more thing we know about him. It seems that he died an untimely death. It seems that he died as a relatively young man because the wife that he left had two younger boys. These were not older boys. These were younger boys, perhaps their early teens. Enough so that if they had been taken, they would have been put into a sort of slave situation until they had paid and worked off the debt of the family. This is no criticism of the man who left his family and died. It wasn't his fault that he died, and there was some financial problem left behind. We know nothing more of the details than that. No criticism of the man. But there's desperate circumstances here, and they were not of anyone's fault. This widow and her young family, they were just trying to live their life. They were just trying to survive. But there had been some debt amassed, and it had to be paid back. The woman said that the creditor has come to take her sons. And the creditor, he was justified in doing what he was doing. The law justified he did that. Well, it's a whole different question about the mercy or the compassion that was not there. Nonetheless, there was a debt that was owed, a debt that had to be paid, and a creditor that came knocking on the door and wanting to have his payment. So in the woman, she was asked by Elisha, what do you have in your house? And she said, I have nothing in my house. And I think there's a little indication there that whatever that woman did have in her house, furniture, tables, chairs, whatever, they were all gone now. There was emptiness in the house. They had the walls, and that was about it. What do you have in your house? And then she said, have a little pot of oil. And this small pot of oil was, the word is, a flask of oil. It was something small, a small jug, that would have been used for anointing. How much could that have been sold for? How much could that have been brought in? I think you get the picture. This was a dire situation. Everything was bleak. Everything was low. Well, Elisha told her to go and borrow from the neighbors all things that they were to borrow. And there they are, all gathered in, sitting in the house. But they're all empty. And they're all dry as a bone. And surely, unbelief would have now changed from just a little snicker to something of an outrageous laugh. What? All of these are going to be filled up from this little tiny thing? Get real, said the world. Get real, would say a carnal Christian. This cannot happen. It's an impossibility. And laughter may well have come. And maybe, friend, in a similar situation you have found yourself in, maybe you've been tempted to laugh at having a supply met. But you know, in the life of this poor widow, there was no indication that there was any snicker or any unbelief or any laughter. No, she wasn't like Sarah, who laughed in herself. And then the angels that were with Abraham and the Lord there saying, why did Sarah laugh? She denied it, but they knew she had, and she knew she had. And it was a laugh of unbelief. But there's no such laugh here. And this woman did exactly what she was told. Friend, I'm wondering tonight if you can see in some way a similar situation that is going on or in your family, in your connection, and all you can see around you after you have faced the fact that you have nothing of resources left. And all that's around you are a bunch of empty vessels that have been gathered in. You can say, well, the finances are pretty empty. Health is pretty empty. Maybe you have a broken home. Maybe you have a relationship that is broken or empty. And you're wondering what the next step is, Lord. How can I be brought out of this? Everything seems to be going bad. I've got unsaved loved ones on top of this. Maybe you've suffered bereavement. Maybe there has been, friend, just a total dissatisfaction with your Christian life. Maybe you'll have to say that you think you're a failure, you've not done anything for the Lord, and now you're not even sure if you have much time left to do anything for the Lord. I don't know what your circumstance is. You know, it is here that we are confronted with the fact that in Christ there is more than enough sufficiency to meet every need that you and I have. Because He is never impoverished. He is never short of supply. And He is able to meet the need, whether it is a small one or a large one, because we're talking here about the infinite and the eternal God, the Creator of all things. And everything He has at His disposal, and He is able to meet those needs, friend, that you specifically have, because the Lord is intimately interested in the need of your heart and of your life. And as He looks into your life, and He may see all around empty vessels that have been collected and gathered in, but they're still empty. And we wonder, what will the Lord do in our life? Are you continually reminded about all of these empty containers? Friend, you're not the only one who has faced circumstances like this in your life, because in this woman's situation, this widow, in the darkness of life's trial, it was expressed by her action that she believed God. She believed in the Lord. And we know that my God is able to supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That was the word that the Apostle Paul spoke to the Philippians, because Paul had experienced it himself. He had proved the Lord's sufficiency, and he was able to share it with others and say, I know God's done this for me, and now He will do it for you. And in a very short time, that widow in her life was going to be able to say and testify of the same thing. But here's the point. Friend, you need to bring those empty vessels to the Lord. We need to bring them all and say, I plead the merit of my Redeemer. I plead the abundant sufficiency that there is within Him to supply that need. Because He is able, I know that my God is able to carry me through. And like the hymn writer, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed and the day is only half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving, it's only begun. And that, my friend, is the eye of faith that we must rest upon. Yes, we have and are faced with the reality of empty vessels. But there is the sufficiency of Christ to meet every single need. Please notice in the second place tonight the process of filling these empty containers. This was no doubt a test of her faith. She was a woman of God. Her husband was a man of God. She feared the Lord, and she wanted to do what was right. But her resources had gone down to virtually nothing. And so when she was told in verse 3, borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. Literally, not few in number and not small in size. So Elisha, when he was presented with her dilemma, she had nothing in the house but this pot of oil. Immediately God told him what he was going to do. And he said, go out and gather from your neighbors. Borrow them. Not a few. And don't borrow small ones. Do not let your present poverty stop you from exercising great faith. You know, that's a big problem that we have. Because you and I will look at what we currently have and we will think, it's hopeless. There's no way. Nothing can come of this. Because we begin to limit God by our own limitations. We limit God and we limit stepping out in faith by seeing that we have nothing, and therefore we judge we're not going to have anything. It's impossible. We laugh. We can't see it coming to pass. But you see, this directive by God's servant from the Lord to this widow, it was going to be for her a test of her faith. You'll notice that Elisha didn't just say, I'm going to fill up all these jars and these containers, and you just sit back and you don't have to do anything about it. That would not have been a test of faith for her. And believer, let us learn this from this account. A testing of your faith may well be the reason why you have nothing in the house at this time. It may well be why the Lord has said, gather a whole bunch of empty containers and now look inside them. They're still empty. Now what? It still remains to be a test of your faith. How will God supply the need that you have? It may not be just like a snap, friend. It may come through a series of steps. It may come through the process of being tested in your faith. Are you going to follow the Lord? When the bank is empty, are you going to trust in the Lord? Are you going to do something that is a little bit underhanded in order to accomplish? Oh no, friend, we will not do that. We will not transgress in order to accomplish and receive more. Shall we go against the Lord's word in order to prove that God's word is true? No. Let that not be the case in our lives. This was a test of faith. Borrow not a few. And do not let your present poverty stop you from exercising the great faith that we are called upon. And by the way, what is great faith? It is simple faith, friend. Because great faith is taking the Lord at His word and obeying Him. But is that not sometimes the very greatest step of faith? It is placing your foot in front of the other foot when you're not sure if you have solid ground to walk on. It is reaching out and laying hold upon the rope that you're not quite sure if it's going to hold you up or not. But God has told you, rely upon me. Rely upon my promise. Rely upon the word that you've been given. It's a test of our faith. And however, the Lord is testing you at this very moment, it may not be the same as the person beside you. It may not be the same as you were tested in the past. But friend, know this, that God has a purpose in what He's allowing you to go through. And when He has tried you, you will come forth as gold. But the trying time, the testing time, is often a dark time. And you can't see the way forward and everything's foggy. And you're saying, Lord, I just want to take a step in honor of Your name, in obedience to Your word. And this is what this woman did. So it was a test of her faith, but it was an evidence of obedience in action. Look at verse 5. It says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Now what you don't read there in the middle of that is that her going from him and speaking to her sons that they would go out into all the neighborhood and gather these vessels in. We're not told they did that. But it's obvious they did that when she began to pour out the oil. So she went from him and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. Here's obedience in action. She said to her sons to go and gather, and they did. And when they had the house, the living area, with pots all around, then she shut the door on her and on her sons. Elisha was not there. He had simply given her the word to obey. He simply gave that instruction from God. And when she obeyed, which by the way, was against all reason. It was against all of what we would call common sense. The whole thing made no sense, actually, to the world. But let that never, my dear friend, be a case of hindrance for us. Because when the world laughs and mocks at our faith, when we are stepping out saying, I'm trusting God here, and they will laugh and say, trusting in what? You can't see Him. There's no God. It's all your imagination. Let the devil mock. Let the devil jeer. Let the devil bring to us every opposition that he can muster. But we will trust in the Lord. We will stand upon His holy and infallible and inspired word. And when she obeyed against all this, her faith was engaged. And her faith was engaged when what? When sight was no longer. She was unable to see. And it didn't make any sense at all. She shut the door. Why did she shut the door? We're not given the reason why. But we may apply and assume and see from our own experiences in life that often God hides His ways from the unbelieving eyes around us. And those who are the naysayers, those who are the ones filled with unbelief, they are not privileged to see the working of God. And this woman, not to make a big spectacle out in the community, not all those who were perhaps in their unbelief, but it was just her and her two boys alone with God. And that's when the Lord began to do His work. And as her sons brought the containers to her, her faith was not a bit diminished. Here was the amazing thing. She filled one, filled two, filled 10, filled 20. Her faith was not diminished. She didn't say, oh, I wonder how long this is going to last. She said to her sons this, bring me another vessel. She had filled them all in the house. She said, bring me another one. Her faith was not hindered. There were no more vessels they could fit in there. And all that they had obtained, they were full. And as long as the pots kept coming, the oil kept flowing. You know something, friend? You and I can never exhaust the supply of God. We can never exhaust His grace. We can never exhaust the oil of the merit of our Lord Jesus. It flows and it flows and it flows to us continually. And when the Lord promised to supply all our need, it was according to His riches in glory. And it was not out of the riches of His glory, but according to it was measured by the riches of God. That's how He supplies for us. And He's never diminished. And the supply is abundant. And the supply continues on. Let us come often to the Lord. For God is glorified, friend, when we present ourselves, depending on His grace alone to meet the need that we have. We never weary Him. In our prayer time this afternoon and with the men and in the pre-service time, someone prayed, Lord, as we come to You in prayer again, but we know that You're never wearied of hearing us pray. You're never tired out of us. And my friend, that is so true. When we come to the Lord in our emptiness, We come to the one who is able and willing with his grace to fill us and to fill us and to fill us again. You'll never tire the Lord out. You never weary him, because he gives and he gives and he gives again and again. Oh, friends, we have received so much from our Lord. And let us not miss that there is an abundant supply of the grace of God through Christ to us. There is an abundant supply of the oil that he will give to us to keep the lamp burning within us, to keep the fuel supply going. Yes, there is the reality of empty vessels and the sufficiency of our Lord Jesus to meet that need. We have thought in the second place of the process of the filling. But I want you to notice, finally, the merit of Christ's atonement in paying for our sin and the power to live for him. We're told this phrase, when the vessels were full. When the vessels were full. Now all the available containers being full, the oil was to be sold to pay the creditor, and then leaving a balance. And that balance was to be their supply to sustain them. We mentioned about the creditor earlier on, and I say this by way of a passing note. Though the creditor was merciless in demanding payment of the debt and taking the two boys until the payment was made completely. And yet you'll know the obligation that rested upon this woman, upon this household. And sometimes people would think, well, the creditor, boy, he was a wicked character, and he had no right to come and make such a demand of a poor widow in her family. Well, actually, that's not strictly correct. He had the right, and she had a debt, and that debt was owable. That debt was an obligation, and it wasn't enough for her to say, oh, well, I'm poor, I have nothing, therefore I'll stiff the creditor. I'll renege on my payments, and I'll just run away. There are some people who have a very twisted view about their obligations. And if they think they're underprivileged, well, therefore, I shouldn't have to pay. You know, it's a very sad thing, friend, that attitude, that sinful attitude, has too many times been seen in the cases of Christians' lives, where they desert their obligations to pay their debt, and they either do it by going into bankruptcy or some unending excuses or just simply a refusal to pay. And over the years, again, very disturbingly and sadly, even in our Christian school, we have had a number of people that have racked up debt for the education of their children to the number of thousands and thousands of dollars, and they have just walked away and they haven't paid. And I suppose they assume that, oh, someone else will pay, or it doesn't matter who else will pay, they're just walking away. Not realizing, of course, that they have stolen from God. They are thieves of the highest order. And the very sad reality. But you know, the way of the Lord is this. The way of the Lord is that we must clear our debt and be sure that when it is finished, we owe no man anything. That's the Lord's way. It doesn't mean that we're not to borrow or it's a sin to borrow, but when all the account is settled, we must be sure that there's nothing owing in order to keep clear with the Lord. God had honored this woman of faith and fulfilled His part of the answer because the woman's faith was engaged. And my friend, it's no different today because the Lord is the same. He does not change. And He is able and willing to supply when we have come to the end of ourselves. But it may mean that He doesn't just drop it out of the sky. It may mean that the Lord will provide other means to accomplish that end. It may be working hard. It may mean working two jobs sometimes. It may mean working and working and working in order to pay off that which we owe. But friend, let us not lose faith. Let us not ever turn away to sinful behavior or practices in order that we might get through. But in a very real spiritual sense, friends, tonight, all of us have a sin debt that we could not pay. It was not just that there was the principle of sin, like the main part of our debt. It wasn't just that. But it's that we were adding to our debt with interest every single day of our life that we sinned. And as that debt was mounting and mounting, we had nothing to pay with. And it wasn't that the Lord just came along and said, well, let's just forget about all that debt. We'll just ignore it. Let's forget about all that sin. No, God cannot do that. He would not do that because it would go against His own name, His own word. But God stepped into our life and He paid the debt that we could not pay. And that's where Christ has stepped in. And that's where all the sufficiency of the merit of the sacrifice of Calvary comes in. Because Christ shed His blood to pay my debt that I was owing in order that I would be set free. And either the sinner will pay for his own debt or a substitute will step in to make that payment. And when Christ stepped in to make the payment for me, that is a definition of free grace. And you can't get any freer and you can't get any more grace. This is the glorious message of the gospel. And friend, tonight, if you're without the Savior, you still have a debt load of sin. But tonight, He reaches out His mercy to you. Would you receive that gift of mercy? Would you repent of your sin and call upon Christ to be your Savior? Because, friend, if you do that now, tonight, He will hear your prayer. He will receive you to Himself. And then you will know that your debt has been paid. And you know what you'll be able to do after that? You will do like this widow did with her family. She will live of the remainder. She will live of the remainder. Once the creditor had been paid, they were now able to survive on the rest, and there was plenty to take care of their needs, because that's how the Lord ordered it. And my friend, I say to you tonight that God gives to you grace to come to Christ for repentance. But He also shows to us and gives to us the abundant supply in the Lord in order for us to live the rest of our lives on that which God supplies to us, the unending supply of His love, the sufficiency of His grace to us. Alexander Stewart wrote this. He said, "Do we long for conformity to the image of Christ? For the removal of every stain of sin and every infirmity of the flesh? This certainly is a vessel that is deep and wide-mouthed, that no creature resources could ever fill up. But the grace of Christ is sufficient to fulfill the desire for holiness. But the same grace which saved us from our debt is equally at our disposal for all the demands of duty. Jesus Christ is alive after the power of an endless life, and the supply of oil shall never fail." Friend, this is something we can rejoice in tonight. You're not looking into yourself for the supply of oil. You're not looking to your own meager resources. But we are looking out by faith to Christ our Savior, because there is within Him the sufficient and abundant supply. Oh, the illustration of oil here, it's right linked up as well to the Spirit of God. For the Holy Spirit is the oil that enables us to burn for our Savior, to let our life be a light and a testimony. But as we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are filled with the fuel that will enable us to keep going. As God has given to us His Son, as Christ has given to us Himself and the power whereby we are enabled to live, so the Holy Spirit is working in us, revealing the Lord to us from His Word, revealing how we are to walk step by step through faith in this life. Oh, friend, as we conclude the message this evening, let me say to you, as I say to myself, let us bring the empty vessels to the Lord for filling. Let's present all of these things to the Lord, because He will in our life make us to overflow. And be certain that when we come to Him, He will answer every need. The little chorus goes like this: "Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole." Let's bow, please, in prayer. And as we are still before God tonight, our eyes are closed, and maybe the Lord has a word for you, friend, tonight. If you're an unbeliever, you're not a Christian, the Lord has a word for you. Come to Christ. There's a massive debt that you cannot pay yourself, but that debt can be paid for you through the blood and righteousness of your Lord. Call upon Him now. Ask Him to come in and save you. Repent of your sin, because it is only then that you will know you have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. And ah, believer, let us all face the fact of our great and ongoing need. And we will bring by faith the empty vessels in our own life to our all-sufficient, all-powerful God. Lord, hear our prayers tonight. Save, we ask, Lord. Work in all of our souls. Surely, Lord, we want nothing more than what we would walk by faith, that we would see the mighty moving of God in our lives, that when we come against a wall where our faith is challenged, Lord, strengthen us with might in the inner man. We will learn what it means to walk by faith and not by our sight. Answer our prayers, Father. Bless our whole congregation. Be with every family member. Dear Lord, I pray that as we face a new week tomorrow, a new work week, that we will know the abiding presence of our Savior with us. As we get up in the morning, as we face the day, as we meet new challenges, Lord, give us an abundant supply for every one of those challenges. We will say, "My God is able. He is able. I know He is able to carry me through." Hear this, our prayer tonight, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.